Welcome back, WNST and Baltimore Positive. We are back in paradise, and you can tell by the sunshine coming through the window here. We're at Jennings Cafe. We are in Catonsville. It is Baltimore Positive. And Don Muller, we're back from the bye week.
Got a little emergency vehicles passing by.
Well, that's all right, man. I mean, we got all that. Life is great in the 212-28. Health. I can't believe we've gone this far in Baltimore Positive. And is this the first doctor, medical doctor? I'm trying to think. This is the first medical doctor.
Wow, I am really honored. Thank you.
Absolutely. The first and not only any medical doctor, Dr. Lena Wen, recently named one of Time Magazine's 100 most influential people in the nation. Quite an honor.
Well, I appreciate that. I'm honored to be here with you both today. So thank you for inviting me.
We've been watching some Baltimore Positive. We appreciate it. I guess the first place of jumping off in health is, and Don and I have talked about this for a couple days in preparation. Boy, it's intense. I mean, just looking at your Wikipedia, just talking about abortion and talking about opioid and talking, and obviously there's murders and shootings and all of these things that are happening. Planned Parenthood, you were a part of that. Getting up in the morning, what's the first thing that comes to your mind when you think of health? We offered you water, and you said, I like my water a little warmer, not colder. And I sort of know the science behind that, but I'm American. I need ice water, you know?
Well, I think that's right now what's on my mind is pregnancy, because I'm pregnant. I'm four and a half months pregnant, so thank you. And so
You look wonderful for 4.5 months pregnant.
I appreciate it, but I think the first thing when I get up in the morning is I got to run to the restroom. So
I'm 51. I have the same problem. Mine happens in the middle of the night.
Well, mine too, but maybe this is TMI to start off the conversation.
I guess the most recent thing for you is Planned Parenthood and abortion and the politics around all that, and we don't shy away from that sort of thing here, but how are you as a pregnant, expecting mother and, looking for gigs, between gigs, doing lots of gigs? People are calling you for all sorts of things. You're
well,
very popular.
That.
We appreciate you coming by.
Well,
you don't have any trouble staying busy, I guess.
I'm happy to be here and happy to be back in Baltimore. I mean, this last year was really intense and really hard, which I knew taking on this job would be hard because of how politicized, unfortunately, all of women's health has become. And it's really unfortunate because when I look at the patients who come to Planned Parenthood or to anywhere else to get reproductive health care or women's health care, they're not looking to make a political statement. They're trying to get their breast cancer and cervical cancer screenings. They're trying to get their STI and HIV test and primary care, because Planned Parenthood health centers, reproductive health centers, are some of the only places that many women across the country rely on for their primary care.
Literally only. When you say only, I'm a young pregnant one. I had a pregnant girlfriend when I was 15. My son's now 35. There are very few resources to turn to, and you're sort of out in the wilderness alone, and this is the place the government has provided as a safe place, a place that's safe and for your child and for your future and for your child's future. To have it politicized the way it is a little sickening to me, 35 years later after what I went through over in East Baltimore when I was a young person.
Right. And for me, too, because my mother was a patient of Planned Parenthood. My sister and I were both patients also at different times in our lives. And I went to Planned Parenthood with that mission of saying we need to depoliticize women's health care and treat women's health. And we don't talk about how men's health care is politicized. We should be talking about women's health care in the same way. And so I went to Planned Parenthood to reposition the organization as a mainstream healthcare organization, because that's what it is. And unfortunately, I wasn't successful in that goal, but I am very happy to be back in Baltimore, and I'm pursuing that goal using different avenues. Now, I'm continuing to practice medicine as an emergency physician.
We love when doctors practice medicine. That's important.
Yeah, because that's really what I went to medical school to do. And I'm also really happy to be back in Baltimore, in my city, and being able to teach medical students and residents about these public health principles and what keeps people healthy and makes them unhealthy at the end of the day.
So where are you teaching now? Give us a little of, what is Dr. Wen doing now? You talk about teaching and teaching medical students. What are you involved in at this time since you've left Planned Parenthood?
So I am a visiting professor at George Washington University in D.C. I teach health policy and management there. And very importantly to me, I'm also a distinguished fellow in the Fitzhugh Mullen Institute for Health Workforce Equity. And the reason I mention this is so important is that Fitz was my longtime mentor. I've known him since I was 18 years old. And actually, I had a crisis in my medical education where I thought, maybe this is not what I'm meant to do, because I went into medicine to try to help people in all aspects of their lives and not just on the disease that brought them there. And yet, so much of what was making people unhealthy seemed to be outside of my control one-on-one as the physician. And Dr. Mullen was instrumental in helping me to see the work that could be done with the lens of health policy and public health. Now, he was recently diagnosed with end-stage lung cancer, and George Washington University has named a new institute in his name. And I am really honored to be his first distinguished fellow of this institute and in helping to complete and carry forth some of his legacy.
Well, it's so interesting because it seems to me, as I take a look at articles that you've written, as I try to follow your career, that this idea of taking a holistic look at healthcare is a real passion of yours. And when I look at the Planned Parenthood experience, I told Nestor, I said, we have about 45 minutes or so. We probably have, 4 hours worth of content. There's so much happening. But when we look at the Planned Parenthood situation, I think Nestor outlined it. There was this push and pull about whether we look at it as a women's health issue or a political issue regarding advocacy for a woman's right to choose.
That's
And you certainly support a woman's right to choose.
Of course.
So talk about that push and pull, what it was about. And you've written about it in the New York Times and other places.
That's right. It's a great question, and I'm glad to be able to discuss it because I think there is a philosophical divide. And, I'm not saying that I know the right answer here or that I have the right strategy. I mean, none of us do, and we don't have our own counterfactual. Here's what I think. So the two sides are, one side says, look, we are in the fight of our lives. There have been over 480 restrictions passed on abortion access in the last 8 years. This is at the time when the Supreme Court hangs in the balance and Roe could be challenged and overturned any moment, in which case 1 in 4 women of reproductive age in this country could be living in states where abortion is outlawed. I mean, we have to focus on abortion rights advocacy first and foremost. And if Planned Parenthood doesn't do it, who else is going to? I understand. Sorry.
No worries.
Okay. Adjusting.
Well, we'll get you adjusting. There you go.
Okay, thank you. I mean, I understand that perspective. I also worry, though, because abortion is such a politicized and polarizing issue, and people are set in their views about it.
I've never seen anyone change their mind.
Although there are a lot of people who are in that silent majority who have complex and, in some ways, conflicting views about abortion. They may consider themselves to be both pro-choice and pro-life. They may not want an abortion themselves, but would support another woman's ability to choose that decision.
See, I feel that's an American. To say what's right for you is right for me. That's the hardest part in this for me, is to say maybe it's not right for me, but who am I to decide
that's
for
right.
400 million other people
that's right.
what's right for them?
That's right. And I have not walked in her shoes. How can I make that decision for her?
I have walked in those shoes. So I grew up in those shoes. So I my son's here, and we made that's the choice we made.
Sure.
But that is not the choice that everyone makes. And the shaming part of this and the male-female part of this, that every time I see the decision makers, they're men and primarily white men in this country at this point.
That's right. And a lot of this is about who has control and autonomy over women's bodies. That's a lot of the argument. I think, though, that there is a way, my philosophy, because I disagree with the stridently abortion-first fight. I think you could do that. But a better way to protect abortion access is to talk about abortion as part of healthcare. That abortion is a medical procedure that 1 in 4 American women will undergo in our lifetimes. Abortion is
That's a huge number.
It is, and it's part of the standard. It's part of the full spectrum of reproductive healthcare, and reproductive healthcare is healthcare. And I think by opening the tent, expanding the tent, and broadening the coalition of people who stand with us, I think most Americans agree with the idea that, look, doctors should be able to make medical decisions together with their patients, and politicians should not interfere with that.
Do you believe? I'm going to stop you there on that one point. Do you believe that most Americans agree with that. Because that's encouraging to me.
Absolutely, and we know that based on polling. Okay. It's a very significant majority of the country believe that the government should not interfere with medical decision-making, period. The majority of the country believe in prevention, the idea that our goal should be reducing the need for abortions through sex education and birth control. The majority of Americans also have these conflicting, complex views of abortion. And what I was trying to do in Planned Parenthood is to say, let's accept that we have conflicting views. Let's talk about what we can agree on, that women's health care is important, that prevention is critical, that we have to take care of women before, during, and after their pregnancies. Let's start with those points of agreement as a way to depoliticize this really hot-button issue. Not everyone agrees with that.
Well, there's no way in your chair to depoliticize it, though, right? You're sitting in Planned Parenthood. That is politicized, unfortunately, right? There was no way to depoliticize it.
I disagree with you.
Okay.
Because for the millions of patients who walk through the doors of Planned Parenthood every year, they are there to receive health care. They are not there to fight political battles. I mean, there are Trump supporters. There are people who might vote anti-abortion, anti-choice themselves, but who would come to Planned Parenthood for their cancer care, who would come to Planned Parenthood for their prenatal care or postnatal care, who would come to Planned Parenthood for their birth control. And I really worry. I mean, when I was traveling around the country, I heard from some women who said they don't know that they can come to Planned Parenthood for their health care because if Planned Parenthood has such a stridently abortion-first philosophy, they don't want to be supporting this organization with this philosophical bent that they don't agree on. Whereas if we reframe the organization as comprehensive women's health care, of which abortion is a part, but only one part, not the leading part, but one part, then that's something that actually is better medical care at the end of the day.
Well, Dr. Nguyen, when you talk about that, and again, I want to go back, to your New York Times article, because sure. In that article, you indicated that one of your regrets was you thought you were making strides. You were beginning to break down some of those silos. And what it seems to me is the hard work that you were trying to do, and it goes beyond what you were trying to do at Planned Parenthood, it really has to do with the way we talk to one another in the nation.
Right.
Seems to me you were trying to say, let's see if we can't, through both of these strident corners that we're in, if we can't find some middle ground. Is that where you were trying to go?
I think that there are people on both sides of the spectrum who are fully dug in. And there's no changing their minds. The 20% on both sides who basically never change their views. And then there's the 60% in the middle who just want common sense solutions that I think we are already at. When I travel around the country and I talked to supporters of Planned Parenthood and donors of Planned Parenthood, so many of them expressed to me their concern about how radical this movement has become. Supporting abortion with no restrictions, not even in the third trimester, even the idea of talking about prevention was something that many people within the movement shied away from. And I thought there is, in the words of Congressman Elijah Cummings, who recently passed, he would always talk about not only how we should be striving for common ground, but we should be looking for higher ground. And I think that higher ground exists for women's health, as it does for other aspects of our political discourse. The problem is that that silent majority is what it is. It's silent and is further being pushed aside. I mean, I was at the first Democratic primary in Miami, and I was really concerned when there were questions asked about how many people support Medicare for all, how many people support decriminalization. And I saw all these hands go up, and I am really concerned about where this country is going when the discourse does not reflect the view of the majority of Americans.
Well, you touch on several other topics that we're going to go into in depth with you. I think we'll take almost an entire segment when we come back, Nestor, to talk.
I got one more thing about.
But before you do that, I'm not leaving it yet. But I said when we come back, I want to talk about your unique relationship with Congressman Cummings. And then certainly we want to talk about this whole healthcare, Medicare for all issue. But before we leave Planned Parenthood, Nestor, go back.
Yeah, Planned Parenthood, how many women seek out Planned Parenthood, walk into a center and give an ID and are in the system for Planned Parenthood in any given year?
the numbers, and again, I no longer represent Planned Parenthood, and so course, I will just tell you what my
I guess my point is how many people seek an abortion there and actually have an abortion versus how many women actually walk in the door?
That's a great question. So every year, nearly 2.4 million patients come to Planned Parenthood for their health care. There are over 600 health centers across the country. Only about 3% of the total number of services provided in that year are abortion care services.
I figured it was I was going to say 1% or 1 to 5.
It's
you said
small,
3.
It's
very
that
small.
Is, it's a small percentage.
And the other 97% come for?
For all the variety of services that are part of comprehensive reproductive health care.
And many of them are probably anti-abortion or wouldn't have an abortion. But they're there. Planned Parenthood is, the right has made it stand for abortion. And I think that that's really where we've gone astray.
But my concern is that it's not only the right. Because I was not forced out of Planned Parenthood by the right. I expected the anti-choice opposition to brand Planned Parenthood as an abortion-first organization. My concern was that it's the left. It's the radicals, if you will, the extremes on the left who want Planned Parenthood to be seen in that light as well. And again, I understand where they're coming from because they're saying, this is the fight of our lives. This is a time when abortion is under attack like never before. If Planned Parenthood doesn't stand up
don't
for
give
abortion,
an inch. Yeah.
Don't give an inch, exactly.
Sure.
But then I worry that if we don't give an inch, we look like the NRA. We look like other organizations that are so dug in that it just seems totally out of touch with where the American people and the people who Planned Parenthood serves are actually at.
It's such a thoughtful analysis. I thought, knowing that you were coming on this week, I was struck again by the much-reported reaction that Vice President Biden got when he tried to go to communion recently, and a priest denied him communion because the vice president has taken the approach that my faith tells me that abortion is wrong, and that's what I believe spiritually. But right. Going back to Nestor's point almost 20 minutes ago, I don't believe I have the right to impose that on everyone else. It's the fact that you were willing to try to break down those silos, I think, although, as you pointed out, may have been unsuccessful in the short term, I think it will resonate in the long term, and I think it will change the discussion. So I thank you for being courageous enough to do that.
I appreciate it. I mean, I think the cost of that was... It was my departure was very public in a way that I think no one really wishes.
Right. You really don't like being on the front page of the newspaper every day.
For this reason.
Right.
You're not a football coach. You're, you know.
And the other thing, too, is I did leave my dream job here in Baltimore, which I hope that we'll talk about a bit.
Oh, absolutely.
Very
yeah.
proud of all the
major.
Work that my team and I did
it.
at the health department. But that was also a major regret of mine, that I left my dream job to do what at the time and still now I think is just this incredible opportunity at a time in our history to turn around this organization and to turn around the perception of women's healthcare. So, but it came at a cost.
Let's come back, talk about the congressman, talk about the great work that Dr. Nguyen did here in Baltimore City. We got a lot to talk about. Where are we today, Nestor?
We are at Jennings Cafe. I'm about to have a Jennings burger before it's all over. I'm taking my wife home some lasagna, a little go-box.
We've got some other great sponsors not far away.
State Fair's down the street. We're going to be at Fadley's next week as well, and State Fair. You can check our whole schedule out at Baltimore Positive. We're getting up into episode 80-something here.
I've lost track again. We'll be right back.
Dr. Nguyen with us. We're in Catonsville. We are Baltimore Positive and WNST.net, AM 1570 and WNST Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop talking Baltimore Positive.